So the other week, I got to lead my first Discovery Bible study with someone who didn't know Jesus, wasn't a believer at all, and I had just gotten to know this guy for like 3 months at this local coffee shop, and I had prayed for him with another guy, and we just kept talking with him, and I saw him later, and he's like, the prayer you guys prayed for me, it actually happened. And he took it as a sign from God, like that God answers prayers. And he's like, it was so specific. I knew it was God. So it was like a really cool thing. And then him and I were just talking for like an hour, just about his life and stuff. He's going through some rough things. And it was in my heart to ask him, hey, would you want to start a Discovery Bible study? But me being an introvert and just kind of being like spread out, and I was like, man, that's going to require like investing my time, my energy, relationships, and all that. But I knew, like, if I didn't do this, I would not be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I'd be doing my own thing. So I just asked him, I was like, hey, man, would you be interested to do a Discovery Bible study? What that is like, we get together for like 30, 45 minutes, and we just read some scripture together and talk about it and how does it apply to our lives and what we're learning about Jesus. So he ended up saying, yeah. So we met 2 weeks ago, and we read in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. And it was so cool because he, you know, we take turns reading the scriptures. And as he read it, he answered some questions, which we're going to go over. And he literally articulated the gospel, like who Jesus is, in his own words, reading the scripture, not being a believer. And I was sitting there being like, this is like the coolest thing. This dude is totally reading the word. The Holy Spirit is speaking to him through the scriptures. And he's learning about Jesus. And at the point, like, I didn't force him to say, you want to believe in Jesus right now? Give your life to him. Because it's more about the process of a person coming to study the scriptures and believing in who Jesus is. And then there's also those times where we do invite someone, hey, do you want to make today the day you commit your life to Jesus, you believe in and follow him? So there's the power of an ask. It's just a simple ask. Because our role in making disciples is simply to extend an invitation and to ask someone. I've asked a lot of people along the way in, you know, different discipleship, invites to church and all this stuff. A lot of people have said no, and a lot of people have said yes. And so I found, and it just takes the toll, like all the pressure off, is, you know, I can't convince anyone to believe in Jesus. And when I got that in my head, I was like, oh, it's the Holy Spirit's job. Like, I don't have to do that. I simply just present that to them. So this past week, I think most of you knew, we were in San Clemente. We took family vacation, which was really cool. If you never heard of Primo Foods in San Clemente, they have Taco Tuesday and Friday, 69-cent tacos, the best tacos you ever had. There's a plug for them. If you're ever there, so good, get them. But the line is out the door around the corner. And I'm standing in line, and there's this young guy in front of me. And I mean, 22, he's in the Marines. And I just said, hey, man, you were from around here, like on vacation. So we just talked for like probably 10 minutes about life. And then, you know, he asked me what I do. So it's just a natural segue to like, hey, we started a church up in Azusa near LA. And he was like, you know, I'm from like a Catholic background and I've been thinking a lot about Jesus lately. So we just talked about Jesus for like 20 minutes right there. And I said, hey, man, is today the day you want to like commit your life to Jesus and be all in for him? And he said, yes, I do. And so we talked out a bunch more outside, prayed them, gave him all the resources to get him plugged in, you know, Discovery Bible study and all that. And it was the power of an ask. It's the power of an ask. We just ask people, hey, is this something you'd be interested in? Jesus, he's so amazing. He transformed your life. Hey, would you be interested to study the Bible? And you're going to find that there's so many people who are willing and wanting and hungry to say yes to you. Because here's the thing. A lot of people like you. They really do. Like all the relationships you have in your life that you built with your coworkers, that you built with your neighbors, that you've built with your family or people that you just get to know, like, during our connect question, I ran over because I saw a guy walking over here. So it took so long, sorry. But I talked with him, and we're going to go play pickleball probably like later this week, right? So there's people that God is going to put in your path that he's going to say that Jesus wants you to step out and build a relationship with because they're getting hungry for him and wanting to know who he is. So the power of an ask. We're going to look today in Acts chapter 18. So if you want to find Acts chapter 18, that's in the New Testament after the Gospels. And if you're like, I'm not sure where that's at, in the front of your Bible, there's a table of contents. And you can find the book of Acts. And we'll be in chapter 18, verses 24 through 26. So Acts 18, 24 through 26. And the big numbers are the chapters, the little numbers are the verses. So take a few minutes to read through these couple verses here. So Acts 18, 24 through 26. And as you're reading it, slow read. Do a slow read of the scriptures. Go deep. Go more for quality. And pay attention to what is sticking out to you as the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you through the word. You can ask yourself, hey, what am I learning about God in this or God's plan? And how does this apply to my life? Like, what should I do in response to what I'm learning here in the word? So read through those scriptures and ask yourself those questions. What am I learning about God or his plan? And how does this apply to me? So you can see in the scriptures here how central it was to have someone who knew how to lead others in reading God's word or being more equipped to do it, and how the impact that this person and these people actually, as they worked together, that they had on that entire city and that region as they would go. So one of the conditions that Jesus has given us as a church to be a Mark 420 church, which is a 30, 60, 100-fold church, is to pray for people to lead discovery Bible studies. So we're to pray for people who will lead these discovery Bible studies. So in the summer of 2022 was when my life took a change. So most of my career has actually been in higher education, and I was planning to go off to get this nice job at a different university with better pay and all this stuff, and like more jobs opened up for that role and everything was working out. And then I was applying and I just didn't have peace, and Meredith and I prayed and felt like I was supposed to take my application out of that process. And I took my application out, and people I work with like, what are you doing? Like, you need to get out of this place and go somewhere else. But I was like, I feel like I'm just supposed to take it out. And I wasn't exactly sure like what it was, but I had a hunch it might be church planting. So I did a fast during that time, and I asked for a very specific thing that the Lord would do. And after my fast, that very specific thing happened. And I was like, turned to Meredith, I was like, hey, I think we're supposed to church plant. She's like, okay. So we started our journey. So that was in summer of 22. And then in January of 2023, Meredith and I did a 40-day Daniel fast together. And we simply said, Jesus, prepare us and prepare the way. Because we don't know what we're doing, but we're just trying to follow what you've asked us to do. And one of the questions we asked each other were like, hey, we don't know where we're supposed to plant. Like, we were willing to go anywhere. Like, we'll go wherever you want us to go. And so we're like, we should probably ask Jesus, like, where do you want us to plant? So it was probably like 2 or 3 days later, we were sitting there, and she's like, okay, I have something. I was like, I have something too. And I thought she was going to get the name of a city. And so I was like, there's no way she's going to get what I got. And we're sitting there, she's like, I'll go first. And she said, San Gabriel Valley. I literally jaw dropped, because that was the exact same phrase God had given me. And I'm not from here, so I had to look up San Gabriel Valley when I got that word from the Lord. And I realized, oh, we live in the middle of the San Gabriel Valley. And then she got the same word. So it was like the craziest thing. There's no way that we could have orchestrated that on our own. So the Holy Spirit gave us a word, San Gabriel Valley. And eventually we just felt like, start where you're at. So we actually started in our apartment when I lived on campus at the university I worked at. And then we've just moved to our house, and then we've started at the park. So this has been interesting how Jesus has led us along the way. And then I wrote this down on August 3rd, 2024. So this was 15 days before we started up at the park. This would have been our first gathering as a church. I had this dream. And in the dream, I was holding a shell in each of my hands out like this. And I was trying to force them in my own ability to multiply them. And then I couldn't do it. So I just simply rested in God's grace. And I believed that the shells would multiply. And they multiplied in my hand from 1 to 2 in each of my hands. And then the next vision in the dream, the next like picture I had was, I don't know if you've ever been to Hawaii or different places have different color sands, like sand beaches. So it was, my hands were out and they were like little green sand crystals. They were flowing endlessly from my hands in a 360 direction, just flowing out of my hands endlessly. They couldn't be counted. And I woke up and I knew exactly what it meant. The shells were churches, so multiplying churches. And the sands being endlessly flowing from my hands, they were disciples being multiplied. And the main key was not in your own effort, but by grace, by Jesus doing that through you. So that began to get me to think, oh, I think Jesus wants us to be a multiplying movement of actually planting churches that plant churches that plant churches, and make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And began to knit this together. And then the idea of like a training center came to mind. because some people's experience of like church is kind of like a movie theater. You go, you kind of sit, you watch a movie, and you just take off, and you never have to like interact or anything like that. But the idea of Enrich is we're a training center. So when you come here, like we try and design everything that's like leadership training and development is what we do. Everything is designed for it. Or the idea of like a spiritual CrossFit gym. So when you come to Enrich, we're going to train you spiritually so that when you go out in your daily life, you're like, man, I can go and I can make disciples. I can build relationships. I can share Jesus. I can start a discovery Bible study. I can lead people to Jesus. I can do what Jesus said to do. And another analogy he's given me is the idea of an upside down mega church. So if you picture like a mega church, a lot of it, people, programs, buildings above the ground. But if you flip it upside down, all that's beneath the surface. It's more of like a root system. So the idea is that Jesus wants us to be an upside down mega church. So my prayer goal is that we grow to 70 disciples strong on Sunday morning. So 70 people who are discipling other people and being discipled. And that from that, we're actually starting, everybody's starting discovery Bible studies. And so you can see that the root system begins to go down and out. And so the idea is that then we're reaching people in our spheres of influence through discovery Bible studies and through our natural relationships that we would have. And that begins to build out this upside down mega church. So the idea is this. The idea is that everybody leads a discovery Bible study. Everybody at Enrich Church leads a discovery Bible study. And if you're like, oh man, that sounds like a lot. Like it is, it's actually so easy. So a lot of this has taken place in Africa and the Middle East and Asia. And when they were getting this off the ground, this is decades ago, the idea was, and this is written by one of the African leaders, he said it's simple enough where a village woman in the middle of nowhere, she can lead it herself. So the idea is that this is so simple that anybody can do it and anybody can reproduce it. And so if a year ago, if you would have asked me, hey, Jared, what's a discovery Bible study? I'd have been like, I have no idea, what is it? And so over, as God has been leading me in this journey, he's given me this simple tool of a discovery Bible study. And some of you are actually already plugged into discovery Bible studies or leading them or looking to start them. But the idea that in Rich Churches, everybody leads a discovery Bible study. So we're going to train today on how do you lead a discovery Bible study so that when you leave today, you could say, hey, there's someone at my work I can start one with. There's someone in my neighborhood. There's someone in my classes. There's someone in my family. And all you got to do is make the ask. It's the power of the ask. So you pray that God will prepare their heart, and then you ask them. So the handout that you have is going to be our discovery Bible study. I'm going to walk you guys through it, and then you're actually going to do them with the people around you so that literally everybody today will be trained that you can take this with you. So in your handout there, it says how to study your Bible, discovery Bible study. So there's a few parts to this. You got the read and retell. So what we did here is you have the passage that we looked at. So Acts 18, 24 to 26. What you'll do is you'll read that out loud with the group or person that you're with. And then what you'll do is you'll retell that passage in your own words. Someone will retell in their own words. And then you can fill in anything that was missed with it. And then what you'll do is you'll read the passage again, and you'll ask the simple question, what does the passage say about God, Jesus, or his plan? And this often produces a ton of discussion, so you're learning more about God, Jesus, or his plan. And then you read it again and discuss it, and you ask, what does this passage say about people? What am I learning about people? And then as you wrap it up, you discuss, you reflect, and you obey. How does this passage apply to your life? And how will you obey the passage? And then if you see on the bottom there, it says multiply. Who can you start a discovery Bible study with? So the idea is that you start one, and then those that you're training in discovery Bible study that you're actually doing it with, as they grow, we're encouraging them then to start them in their own spheres of influence. So the word, the discovery word is key, discovery. So people are discovering on their own what the scriptures say. So the idea is that someone's not standing there and just teaching them the word. They're actually learning how to read it on their own. Because if people discover for themselves, it's most likely to stick and go deeper in them. And it's most likely then to be transferable to other people. So the idea of discovery Bible study. So what we're going to do is we're going to have you break into groups of two or three or however you want to do it with groups. And you're going to lead. You can designate a leader, whoever you want it to be. We're going to do Acts 18, 24 through 26. And Laura, maybe you can choose someone else. I know you're one of our Discovery Bible Study leaders, so you can say I'm delegating today. So choose someone that looks nice, that's next to you, or a group that you came with. And literally you can go top to bottom on the sheet. It's so easy. You literally can just read the questions to each other and then you talk about them. And if you even want to break up into different groups, feel free to do that. So take about, 7 to 10 minutes to do this Discovery Bible Study, Acts 18, 24 through 26. All right, so let's bring it back. Thank you all for engaging in Discovery Bible Study. How many of y'all, was that easier than you thought? Was it easier than you thought? Yeah, it's pretty simple, right? You literally just read a couple times, ask some questions. And I was like 7 to 10 minutes, but we definitely went like 20. And our group was like, we only talked about 3 verses and we're in like 15 minutes. And so you could go like so deep, right, in the Word together. And like, again, people like you. And when you hang out together, you talk about the Word, like it's just so much comes out of it. And you're talking about real life, right? Because we got into like life stuff in our conversation about things and going on and like real people and things like that. So it's such a good approach. It's easy, simple, you could start it. And if you're like, man, I don't know where to start. Like if your kids are old enough, like start with your kids or start with your spouse at home, like once a week, just take 30 minutes or a friend or a roommate or a parent. Like you could just start it where you're at with who you're with and start there. And then you build some momentum and you're like, oh, I got the hang of this. I want to start it with my friend at work on lunch break, right? Or like you can figure out a way. And this is what I found. If you just pray, say, Jesus, like, lead me the person you want me to start one with or a group of people, he'll bring you those people. He'll put that person in front of you. And then you got the power of the ask. The ask is what gets it going. And so how the Discovery Bible Study fits into the bigger picture or vision that Jesus has for Enriched Church. Picture the Discovery Bible Study is an entry point to discipleship. So Discovery Bible Study is an entry point to discipleship. And they don't even need to be believers in Jesus yet, because you can disciple people into a relationship with Jesus. We've had it where people actually weren't even believers and they were leading Discovery Bible Studies, right? And so it's as long as people are willing to like read the Word and talk about the Word and have conversations, like totally fit the ability to do it. So people don't have to know Jesus at all. People can be from like a different faith background, like believe something totally different from what you believe, a different religion. You can still study the Bible together. It's really good for brand new believers, like people just like brand new to the faith, because then you start getting in the Word and rooting in it and learning how to read the Scriptures and then how to do it with other people. Or those who've been Christians but never been discipled and they're ready to start getting in the Word together. So the Discovery Bible Study is designed to be super simple and reproducible so that anybody can take it and anybody can do it. And so when you think about like kind of the bigger picture of this, think about like streams and generations. So a stream is kind of like a line of where Discovery Bible Studies are going to start and then they're going to reproduce. And so think about generations. So if you start with someone, that's generation one, and then you do it with them or with a group of people. And so from that group says, hey, I'm going to start one now because you've encouraged them to start one. Then you're on to generation two and then generation three, generation four. So the idea is that we make these basically multiplication. So the idea is that we start them, then you start them, and then they start them, and they go down the line. And we're going to be a church planting church. We already have our first church planters in training, Ethan and Jen. They're out of town today. And then we'll have another church planter and his family join us probably in the next few months too. But the idea is that when you start these Discovery Bible Studies, you can actually make them into initial church plants, because you're bringing people together to study the Word. And from that, when people come to know Jesus, you can actually start churches from those Discovery Bible Studies. So for Enrich, the goal is that everybody at Enrich Church leads a Discovery Bible Study. And it might take you some time to get there, but we'd love to journey with you and give you the skills and tools and abilities to do that and the support. And then you can go then and train others. So do this. I want you to write down the name of one person or a group, maybe a group of people you're going to ask this week to do a Discovery Bible Study with. So take about 30 seconds to a minute and write down the name of that person. If you're already leading one and like you're doing all that, or you're in one and you're totally new, that's an awesome start. But begin to think about like, who could I start one with? Is it someone at work? Is it someone like you live with in your home, like a family member, a roommate? Is there a friend you can ask? The idea is that this week you just make an ask with someone. So take about a minute or so and write down that the name of the one person you want to ask to start a Discovery Bible study with. Today being the fourth Sunday, we're going to do communion together as a church. And so Sandra is going to read from the scriptures for us.
So Matthew 26, verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many."
Thanks, Sandra. So as a church, if we can have George and Laura come up, they're going to serve communion. So this is one of the most powerful moments in the month that we get to do as a church, because this is what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what he did for us, because without Jesus doing this for us, we wouldn't have a church. We wouldn't have the people of God. We wouldn't even have a relationship with God. We couldn't, because we had sin in the way, but Jesus came to the earth. He lived a life like us, fully human and fully God, and he never sinned against God. But when he willingly went on the cross, he literally took the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future. Those sins were shoved into his body, and that's what eventually killed him, was taking on the wrath of God, the sin of humanity. So his body was broken so that we could be healed and made whole, and his blood was poured out. It was shed from his body so that we could be forgiven of our sins when we ask Jesus to forgive us, and we can have that relationship with God. So whenever you're ready, if you want to come and take communion, grab your cup, and then when you sit down, take a few moments just to reflect if there's anything in your life you need to get right with God or with other people, and then we'll take communion together as a church. Whenever you're ready, if you'd like to take the cracker in the bottom. This is the body of Jesus broken for you. If you want to open the juice, this is the blood of Jesus that was poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're here today and you're like, "Man, this is the first time I'm, really understanding Jesus more, and I want that relationship with him. I want to be forgiven." Come up after to our Get Prayer Here sign. We'll have some prayer team here that would love to talk with you and pray with you and get you started in your relationship with Jesus. And as we close our time, let me just pray a prayer blessing over you as you start your week. So Jesus, we're super grateful this morning that we can come together in your name at this awesome park and enjoy the weather. Thanks for giving us amazing weather. We're so grateful. Thank you, Jesus, that we can remember and celebrate and give thanksgiving for your death on the cross, by your body being broken and your blood being shed for us. Now we can be forgiven and have a relationship with you, God, Father. And then you take us and you heal us, you make us whole, and you fill us with your spirit and fire, and you send us out to go and make disciples, to lead other people, Jesus, to know you and grow in commitment and obedience to you. So Jesus, would you take that Discovery Bible study that we've learned about today in discipleship, and would you plant it in our spirit, and would you cause it to grow, and would you be preparing the heart of the person we're going to be asking this week, "Hey, would you want to study the Bible with me and learn more about God?" Thank you for the people that are going to be so open and hungry and say yes. Thank you for the power of the ask. When we ask people, you're preparing their hearts, and they'll be ready. Would you give us courage and boldness? Be filled with love and humility as we ask people. And would you prepare those moments for that, Jesus? We're excited for that to come. And so, Jesus, I want to pray for everyone's weeks ahead. Thank you, Jesus, that you're going to be authoring their weeks. Thank you that as each person here looks to you, Jesus, they're going to connect with you more deeply this week. Hearing your voice was just such great clarity. Lord, being led by your Spirit and being impactful in their areas of work, whether it's in the office or in the family or something in between. And Father, I ask your protection over everyone here today for their whole week. I ask, Father, you cover them with your wings, that they rest in your shadow, that you put a wall of fire around each of them and assign a legion of angels to them and their loved ones and their families. Father, for your protection and your kingdom and gospel purposes. Father, I ask you that you release your peace in anyone's hearts here that's looking for peace today, that just has a lot of stuff going on, whether it's like physical stuff or like emotional stuff or mental stuff or just life, family stuff. Jesus, would this be a moment of just surrender, of just saying, okay, Jesus, like I've been trying to do this all on my own a lot, and I surrender this to you, and I ask that you show me how you want to do it. Would you lead me to the right person? Just like Aquila and Priscilla came across Apollos and they invested in him and mentored him and trained him to be more honed for the kingdom. Would you send the right person in the path of the person here this week that's saying like, man, this isn't working. I need to do it God's way or a different way to have the peace that he says he gives. So Jesus, would you align that for the individuals here who are seeking that this morning? And Father, for any of those who are looking for jobs, Father, we ask that you provide the right job that will provide the necessary finances to meet needs and also to be generous in your kingdom, to give forward and to sow for your purposes. And Father, and those who are going to be having family transitions here in the coming season, Father, we ask your hand upon their family. We thank you that you are with them. Father, thank you that you are watching over them, and we ask for your health and your prosperity over the families in transition. So, Father, we're grateful that you're going ahead of us, and as we look to the week, Father, we look to the mission that you've given us through Jesus to go and make disciples. So, Jesus, would you baptize us and fill us with your Spirit today? Would you give us an increase of your fire and your zeal? In Jesus' name, amen.